NBC presents The Adventures of Frank Merriwell. There it is, an echo of the past, an exciting past, a romantic past. The era of the horse and carriage, gas-lit streets, and free-for-all football games. The era of one of the most beloved figures in American fiction, Frank Merriwell. Merriwell is loved as much today as ever he was. And so the National Broadcasting Company brings him to radio in a new series of stories based on the famous books written by Gilbert Patton under the pen name Bert L. Standish. Today, Gold Fever. It's a cold winter's afternoon in New Haven. Classes at Yale have ended for the day, and as our story opens, Frank, Bart, and Inza Burridge are seated in the waiting room of the New Haven Depot with Bart's father, Oliver Hart.
Oh, gosh, Dad. I wish you didn't have to rush off again so soon.
Oh, yes, sir. We don't get to see you very often.
I know, boys. I've been pretty busy lately.
If you'd only let us know you no sooner, Mr. Hart, you could have come over for dinner. That would be awfully disappointing.
You must send her my apologies, my dear. The New York train will be in any minute, and I've got to be on it.
You act like you have a big deal up your sleeve, Dad.
I have, Bart. And it may mean a lot to both you boys.
Oh?
Now, would you like a job in South America this summer?
South America?
Why, what kind of a job?
I haven't much time, but I'll explain as quickly as I can. I'm about to close a business deal with a fellow named Clarkson, a great mining expert.
I see.
There's a chance of opening up some gold deposits in South America. And if all goes well the next few days, I'll be in on it.
Gold? Oh, my goodness, that sounds exciting.
I'll say it does. What about the job?
Well, I told Clarkson all about you and Frank, and he seems to think he might be able to use you down there when we begin operations next summer.
That's great.
How about it? Would you like it?
I certainly would, sir. How about you, Bart?
It sounds great to me.
Good. Clarkson will come up to New Haven sometime within the next couple of days and talk to you about it. By the way, you're both studying geology here, aren't you?
Oh, yes, sir. What has that to do with it?
Well, a great deal.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I hope you're doing well in the subject.
Uh-oh. I knew there was a catch in it.
A catch? What do you mean by
it? Oh, don't mind him, Mr. Hodge. It's Bart's idea of a joke. Of course he's doing well in geology.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear it. When Clarkson comes up here, he'll want to speak to your geology professor. But I know you'll have nothing to worry about on that score.
This must be your train now, Mr. Hodge.
Yes. Well, boys, I'm sorry I can't stay any longer, but look for Clarkson sometime this week. I'm sure you'll get along splendidly with him.
Yes, sir, I'm sure we will.
Fine, and keep your fingers crossed. I wouldn't want anything to go wrong with this deal. It can mean a lot to all of us.
A mess.
Mess? What on earth do you mean, Bart?
I think he's worried about that geology business, Ensa.
I'll say I am. Of all the subjects to pick.
You don't have a good grade in it, do you, Bart?
Oh, it's my worst subject, Ensa.
I didn't think geology was so difficult.
Well, it isn't, Ensa, but Bart's been neglecting.
Well, I couldn't help it. First there was football practice every afternoon, and now basketball.
I'll bet you haven't even got your last field trip report in, have you?
No. Say... Say, we could go out to East Rock tomorrow afternoon, and I could hand in the report by tomorrow evening.
Oh, what do you mean, we? I've already handed in mine.
I know, but I thought you'd come along and help me. After all, this is an emergency.
All right, I'll do it. But I thought I was through digging for gold until next semester.
Digging for gold? Now, don't tell me there's actually gold out there in East Rock.
Oh, of course not, Inza. It's just a standing joke. We usually kid the freshmen by telling them to keep their eyes peeled for gold ore when they make their first field trip.
Oh, well, anyhow, don't worry, Bart. I'm sure you'll be able to pick up your geology grades, especially with Frank's help.
Well, I'd better. Well, come on. We don't want to stand here on the station platform all night.
Oh, there's a sleigh parked at the hack stand. Shall we take that?
Good idea. Come on.
Here you are, folks. Hop right aboard.
Don't mind that step, Enzo. Here, I'll help you.
Thank you, Frank.
That's a ticket. I'll just put this lap robe over you. There we are. Now then, where would you be going?
Linden Place, driver, number 14.
Right you are. Get up there, Nellie.
Hey, I just thought of something. East Rock is all covered with snow. How in the world are you going to go on your gold digging expedition tomorrow?
Well, that's why I want Frank to come along. He knows exactly where to look, and that way I can get my report into Professor Holland in plenty of time tomorrow evening.
Well, I wish you luck. I know how much it means to you and to your father. All I can say is I'm glad I don't have to go digging for gold in this weather.
Well, don't worry, Enza. This time tomorrow, Bart will likely make the biggest gold strike since Sutter's Mill.
Boy, what an afternoon this was. I nearly froze to death out there at East Rock.
Oh, never mind, Bart. At least you've got your report finished at last.
Well, thanks to you. I hope it's good enough to pick up my geology grades.
No, you'll just have to wait and see what Professor Holland has to say about it. You'd better go in alone. I'll go on back to Connecticut Hall.
Oh, all right, Frank. Thanks again for all the help.
Oh, don't give it a second thought. Good luck with Professor Holland. And let me know what he says.
I'll do that. See you later, Frank.
Good evening, sir.
Oh, good evening, Danny. Is Professor Holland in?
Oh, yes, indeed, Mr. Hodge. Come right in, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Don't you notice anything, Mr. Hodge?
Notice anything?
About me.
Nothing in particular. You're looking very well, Danny.
It's my new hairpiece, wig, sir. Oh. Got a new toupee.
Oh, so you have. I didn't notice it at first. Well, that's very becoming. Makes you look years younger.
Yes, thank you, sir. Was a missus' idea. Women get some darn fool notions sometimes. She told the professor about it, and he bought it for me for Christmas.
Well, that was nice of him. I understand those things are pretty expensive.
Oh, yes, indeed. But Professor Holland's a fine gentleman to work for. But I mustn't keep you waiting. You say you wanted to see him.
If he isn't busy. It's important.
He's in his study. I'm sure he'll see you. Just wait right here, sir. I'll tell him you're here.
Well, Mr. Hodge, this is an unusually fine report.
Well, thank you, Professor Hodge.
But it is also unusually late.
Well, sir...
You are the last student in the class to complete your fieldwork.
Yes, sir, I know. I'm hoping to make up for that.
You think that's possible,
Oh, yes, sir. I realize I've been neglecting my geology for some time.
Yes, sir. Mr. Hodge, you most certainly have. I believe your grades attest to that fact.
I know that, Professor. That's what I want to remedy. You see, in view of this report and everything, I wondered if there was any hope of picking up my grades this week.
This week, eh? Are you sure it's worth the effort, Mr. Hodge?
Oh, yes, sir. It's very important to me. I want to make up for my lack of interest all semester.
Oh, that's very commendable, I'm sure. As a matter of fact, there is a remote chance that you can better your geology mark this week.
Well, there is, sir?
It depends on how well you do with this.
What's that, Professor Holland?
A list of examination questions which I'm going to give the class tomorrow.
Examination? But I didn't know about that.
I announced it during my lecture on Friday.
Oh.
You were absent, I believe?
Yes, sir. I remember.
Frankly, I should say your chances of getting a good grade or even a passing grade on this examination are rather remote. But perhaps with a little intensive study tonight...
Yes, sir, I'll study very hard tonight.
Oh, now what? Yes, yes, come in.
Excuse me, sir, the telephone.
I can't talk to anyone right now. I'm busy.
But it's Dean Clark, sir.
Oh, very well. Excuse me a moment, Mr. Hodge.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Dean Clark.
Sorry to bother you, Holland, but I haven't received your pre-examination grades for this semester yet.
Oh, no, sir. You see, I'm holding a special examination tomorrow. I'll have the grades then.
Very well. Just checking up. Sorry to have troubled you. Good night.
Not at all, sir. Good night. Now then, Mr. Hodge, I was about to give you this reference list. I recommend that you take it and study it with all possible diligence.
Oh, I will, sir. Thank you, sir.
Not that I anticipate it'll do very much good. I fear you've let matters slide a little too long, Mr. Hodge. But then, we shall see tomorrow.
Oh, don't worry, Professor Holland. I'm going to surprise you on this examination. Even if it means staying up all night, I'm going to get the highest mark in the whole class.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Dean Clark, but this is most important.
Good morning, Professor Holland. Sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Now, sir, what's the trouble? Take it from the expression on your face that it is trouble.
Indeed it is, Dean Clark. It concerns a geology examination which I'm giving today.
I see. And what about the examination?
A copy of the list of questions which I intended to ask was taken from my study last night.
You mean stolen?
I'm afraid I do, Dean Clark. And the inference is rather obvious. The only one who could possibly benefit from such a list would be a Yale geology student.
Well, I see. Indeed, this is serious, Professor Holland. Have you taken any steps as yet to learn the identity of the student?
No, sir, I have not. And for a very good reason. I'm already practically certain of the boy's identity.
So? Well, who is he?
Mr. Bart Hodge.
Hard?
That's right, sir.
Oh, come now, Holland. Surely you're joking.
That would be a rather grim sort of joke, Dean Clark.
But Hodge, why, that's preposterous. I know the boy well. Fine, upstanding young man.
I have always thought so myself. That is what makes this doubly perplexing to me. Believe me, sir, I've thought about this half the night, and I can come to no other conclusion.
You're quite sure that no one else could have done it?
I'm certain of it. He alone had the opportunity. And it's my regrettable duty to ask that you take action against him at once.
Just a moment, Professor Holland. Perhaps there's a way to make sure before we act.
How's that, sir?
Well, I judge from what you say that young Hodge has not been doing too well in geology this semester.
All the more reason for him to take the examination questions, I'm afraid.
Perhaps. But as I say, we can find out. Professor Holland, I want you to go through with this examination exactly as though nothing had occurred.
You mean with different questions, of course?
No, with the very same questions.
Same questions?
A look at the results of the test should give a strong indication as to which students had access to the questions in advance.
Well, of course, a very good idea. I shall follow your advice, Dean Clark.
And be sure to advise me of your conclusions. This is a most serious affair. We can afford to make no mistakes.
I certainly realize that, sir. You shall hear from me immediately following the examination. And believe me, Dean Clark, when I say that for the first time in my teaching career, I hope with all my heart that every single one of my students fails this test.
Well, here we go, Bart. How do you feel after being up all night?
Exhausted. I wish we'd get this test over in a hurry before I forget everything I learned.
Oh, relax, Bart. Professor Holland will start the exam any minute now.
I'm ready for him. Incidentally, Frank, thanks again for working so hard with me on this thing.
Oh, that's all right, Bart. It was good for me, too.
Say, maybe we could review a couple more things while we're waiting. Ask me a question.
All right. Now, let me see. Try this. Identify the subaqueous and subterranean strata of the Permian, Mesozoic, and Tertiary eras.
Well, let's see. Permian first.
Now, hold it up, Bart. Here we go.
Good. I'm ready for him this time. This is one time I'm really going to surprise old Holland.
Gentlemen, please. Before I continue reading the results of yesterday's examination, let me reassure you. It was a most difficult one. And the fact that most of your grades were well below 80% should not cause you any undue alarm.
Well, that's a relief.
And now to continue. Mr. Jack Diamond, 72%. Mr. Harry Rattleton, 78%. Mr. Jeff Woodward, 69%. Mr. Frank Merriwell, 84%.
84? Gosh, nice going, Frank. I hope I did as well.
And Mr. Bart Hodge, 92%.
92? Well, congratulations,
Charlie, I knew I'd done well, but I didn't think it was that good.
Well, that should do it, Bart. Your worries are really over now.
It looks like it, all right.
Wait,
Holland isn't through.
Those are the results. Those are the results, gentlemen. However, due to certain circumstances, these marks will not be posted for several days. That is all. You may go. One moment. Mr. Hodge?
He's calling you, Bart.
Oh. Yes, Professor Holland?
I should like a word with you. Will you remain, please?
Yes, sir. What does he want to see me for, Frank?
I don't know, Bart. Maybe he wants to compliment you on your good work. Well, I better get over to basketball practice. See you over there.
Right. Yes, sir? What is it, Professor Holland?
Mr. Hodge, a very serious matter has come up. Very serious indeed.
Serious, sir?
For the first time in my years at Yale, I am compelled to bring a charge against a student that may result in his immediate dismissal from the university.
But what has that to do with me, sir?
It has everything to do with you, Mr. Hodge. You are the student against whom I must bring the charge.
What?
Please get your coat. We are going to Dean Clark's office.
Expelled from Yale. But, Dean Clark, I'd be the last person in the world to take those questions.
And I, Mr. Hodge, would be the first person in the world to attest to that fact. Nevertheless, the evidence seems rather overwhelming.
Professor Holland, do you think I did this?
Well, really, my boy, this is most distressing. But confound it, look at the evidence. It is rather conclusive, I'm afraid.
But, sir...
Permit me, Professor Holland. In the first place, Mr. Hodge, you will concede that you've not been an outstanding student in geology this year?
Of course, sir, but I explained that I've been neglecting it. My other marks are all high enough.
True. But the fact remains, your geology marks have been, well, to be kind, mediocre. Now then, you appeared at Professor Holland's house on the night before the examination. Explained that it was imperative that you better your geology grades considerably this very week.
That's true, sir, I did. It meant the possibility of a good summer job.
Very well. You then learned of the examination and admitted that you were not adequately prepared to take it.
Furthermore, yes. Mr. Hodge, I left the room for a moment, leaving you quite alone with ample time to take the examination questions from my desk before I returned.
But I didn't, sir. The list was still there when you came back to the room, wasn't it?
Unfortunately, I cannot swear that it was or was not. I did not have occasion to look for it until almost an hour after you left the house.
There you are, Dean Clark. There's the hole in the story. Someone else must have come in and taken the list after I left.
Oh, no, 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 Mr. Hodge. No one at all came into the house after you left. In fact, the only occupants were my servant Danny and myself.
Add to this, Mr. Hodge, the fact that you received the highest grade by far in the entire class. And you must admit that there's good cause for Professor Holland's suspicion.
But I explained about the high grade, sir. I stayed up all night cramming for the exam, and Frank Merriwell helped me, too.
And yet you received a higher grade than he did, Mr. Hodge.
That's because Frank neglected his own studying to help me. Dean Clark, you can't expel me on evidence like this. It just isn't fair.
You're quite right, Mr. Hodge. Believe me when I tell you that I have no desire to punish you if you are innocent.
Nor do I.
Furthermore, knowing you as I do, let me add that in spite of the evidence, I have a very strong feeling that you did not do it.
Thank you, Dean Clark. But
just
still,
a moment. Naturally, I cannot permit this to go unnoticed. And so, until further investigation is made, I'm going to have to put you under temporary suspension.
But, sir, I thought you said
that's all, Mr. Hodge. You're excused.
Honestly, Bart, I feel simply terrible about this. Don't you, Frank?
Well, of course, I can't understand it at all.
Neither can I. I must admit they have a pretty strong case against me, too.
Oh, it can't be so awfully strong, or Dean Clark would have expelled you. I'm sure he believes you're innocent, Bart.
Well, a lot of good that does me. I'm under suspension just the same.
If you only hadn't done so well in that exam.
I know, Frank. What a mess. To make matters worse, that partner of Dad's has to show up today.
Mr. Clarkson? You mean he's here in New Haven, Bart?
Oh, that's right. Here, look in the morning paper.
Prominent gold mining engineer visits New Haven. Mr. Ralph W. Clarkson at the New Haven house. My goodness, now of all times.
I know.
What are you going to do?
Oh, we've got to keep our promise to Bart's father and go see him.
But when he asks about my geology grades, I'm finished. He'll find out about those charges against me. It may even ruin the deal for father.
Well, Professor Holland announced the grades wouldn't be posted until the matter was cleared up. Now, if Mr. Clarkson asks Bart about the geology grades, we could tell him the latest grades won't be published for a day or two.
Oh, of course. And that would give you a little time to find out the truth.
Well, I don't see what good that'll do. Even if we had all the time in the world, we haven't a single lead to work on.
Well, that's only because we haven't started looking yet. But we can work on that later. Right now, we'd better get over to the New Haven house and call on Mr. Clarkson.
Well, well, boys, it's a real pleasure to meet both of you. Oliver told me a great deal about you. Well,
thank you, Mr. Clarkson.
Yes, sir, Bart, your father's a fine man. It's a real opportunity for all of us, this deal of ours. He told you about it, didn't he?
Why, yes, sir. Mr. Hodge told us a little about it, sir. He said you'd be stopping by here to see us. That's why we came up.
Well, I'm glad you did, too. Meant to get in touch with you earlier, but so many things came up. By the way, how'd you know I was in town?
Oh, we read it in the paper this morning, sir.
Oh, yes, that paper. I'd have been just as happy if they hadn't mentioned it. Been plagued ever since with folks who want to make investments. Oh, there goes that blasted telephone again. Excuse me, boys.
Would you like us to go out until you finish, sir?
No, no. Sit right there. Sit right there. This can't be anything important. Hello? Oh? Oh, yes, I remember. You were up here to see me this morning. What's that? No, no, man. I tell you, that's completely fantastic. There isn't any gold worth mining in the whole state of Connecticut.
Gold?
Yeah.
What? Well, all right, I'll look at your ore samples, but you're only wasting your time and mine. Very well, this evening, then. Goodbye. Confounded nuisance.
More investors, sir?
Well, worse than that, someone with a mind to sell me. Boys, I hope neither one of you ever catches gold fever. Near as I can make out, it's an incurable disease.
So I've heard.
Imagine the crazy old coot trying to make me believe there's gold in some place called East Rock around here.
East Rock?
Is that where he was talking about?
Well, yes. Do you know the place?
No, and I'll say we do.
Well, one of the students is having fun with you, Mr. Clarkson. Looking for gold at East Rock is a standing joke here at Yale.
Well, if this fellow's a student, he must be a mighty backward one. Didn't give his name, but he was over here to see me this morning. He must be in his 60s at least.
What? Say, it couldn't be one of the professors, could it, Frank?
Hardly. What did he look like, sir?
Oh, I don't know. Nothing very remarkable. Sort of an unkempt-looking fella. Had a fine head of hair, though, but just between us, doubt it was his own. That's about all.
I'll bet it was a student. Probably made himself up to look like an elderly man.
Maybe, but it won't do him any good if he's playing a joke. Showed me a bunch of reports and said they indicated gold deposits. Well, I know as well as anyone else that there isn't any gold worth talking about in these parts. Now about you boys.
Yes, sir?
I want to have a nice long chat with both of you. Find out something about your grades and all that. Hmm?
Oh, yes, sir. About the geology, you see, there's...
Never mind about it right now, son. I have an appointment in a few minutes. But suppose you come back here for dinner tonight and we'll have a good chat, hmm? Would that be convenient?
Would it? I mean, yes, sir, that'd be fine.
Now, that's a date. See you about 7 o'clock, boys.
Yes, sir.
And you can tell me all about your scholastic records.
Oh, we got a reprieve anyhow.
But we'll still have to tell him all about it tonight unless we can find some way to clear this up by that time.
I wish we could. We don't have any place to start, though. Unless we can prove that the professor's house was broken into, I'm the only possible person who could have taken that exam.
I know, Bart. Except, of course, for Professor Holland himself and... Jumping Jehoshaphat. Bart, I've got it.
Got it? What do you mean?
That man who called on Mr. Clarkson this morning. Do you know who that must have been?
Well, how could I? All we know about him is that he's in his 60s, was probably wearing a wig, but we... A wig. Holy cats, Professor Holland's servant Danny.
Naturally. I think we're on to something here, Bart.
Oh, no, I don't know. No, I mean, I'm surprised that Danny's calling him Mr. Clarkson, but still I don't see what it has to do with me.
Well, I've got a hunch about that, Bart. Let's pray it's the right one. I'll tell you all about it on the way over.
On the way over where?
To Professor Holland's house, of course. We're going to have a quick talk with Danny.
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm sorry, but Professor Holland's at a faculty meeting.
Well, that's all right, Danny. We've come to see you.
Me, sir?
That's right. Mind if we come in?
Well, no, sir. Come in, by all means.
Thanks.
Now then, Danny, I'll come right to the point. You went over to the New Haven house this morning and called on a Mr. Clarkson.
Well, how'd you know that?
Oh, never mind. And you showed him some reports on mineral deposits at East Rock.
Well, yes, sir, I did, but I don't quite understand.
Where did you get those reports, Danny?
Where? Well, now look here, gentlemen. I don't see that it's any of your business.
Then perhaps you'd prefer that we took the matter up with Professor Holland.
Professor Holland? Oh, no, sir, don't do that. I mean, I...
Very well. Then start talking.
Well, I took the reports from Professor Holland's desk the other night.
I thought so.
I didn't mean any harm by it, sir. I thought he was through with them, and I knew they could mean such a great deal to me. I meant to return them, honestly.
But what on earth made you think they were valuable, Danny?
Mr. McCoy told me they were.
McCoy? Who's he?
Well, he's a hack driver here in town, Mr. Hodge. He had a tip that an important gold strike had been made at East Rock and that you were handing in a report on it to the professor.
That I was? Where the devil did he get an idea like that?
I don't know, sir, but Mr. McCoy knows all about gold mining. He had an uncle who went to the Klondike and made a fortune.
Wait a minute. You say he's a hack driver? What does he look like?
Well, he's a slight-built feller. Has sandy hair and a red face.
I knew it. I see how it happened now.
Well, what is it, Frank?
Well, that must be the hack driver who drove us from the station the day your father was here. Remember, we were kidding about going out and digging for gold at East Rock?
Sure, I think I mentioned having to turn the report in to Professor Holland.
I see how it happened now. McCoy told Danny here about it and instructed him to take the report.
Of course.
Well, Danny picked it up from the professor's desk right after you left, Bart, and he must have taken the exam paper along with it.
Hello.
Exam paper? What exam paper?
Let's have those reports, Danny. I'll bet the paper is right there with them.
But I don't have the report.
You don't? Well, where is it?
Mr. McCoy has it. And he's out at East Rock right now digging some more samples to take to Mr. Clarkson.
At East Rock, huh?
Yeah.
Come on, Bart. We're going for a sleigh ride.
Well, neither did I, Enza. But if Frank's right, this is the luckiest day of my life.
We'll soon know. Oh, wait. That must be McCoy, over there at the foot of the cliff. Oh, boy.
What on earth is he doing, burrowing in the snow?
You'll soon know. You there! McCoy!
He hears us. We want to talk to you.
I can't talk to anybody now, mister. I'm busy.
Busy or not, you'll talk to us. Your friend Danny told us about the geology reports.
What? Why, that idiot.
Those reports belong to Professor Holland, and we've come for them. Now hand them over.
I'll do nothing of the kind. Now get out of the way before you get hurt. I'm fixing to set off a blast.
A blast?
What does he mean?
You can't blast here.
Who's going to stop me? This ain't your property, is it?
But you can't set off a blast here at the foot of this cliff.
I can't, huh? Well, you just watch me. Now get back. I'm going to light the fuse.
Look out, boy. Let's get out of here, quick. Get it, boy. Get it.
Frankie's liable to cause a landslide here.
It's too late to stop it now. Hold on.
Better get out of the way yourself, McCoy.
Don't worry, I'm going.
Oh, he fell.
Oh, my leg. I twisted my leg.
Good Lord, Frankie's trapped.
I've got to get him out of there.
No, Frank, stop. There isn't time.
Hold on, McCoy.
Come back, Frank. Frank, come back.
Go back, you fool. You'll be killed.
We can make it. There, quick, your arm around my neck. That's it.
We'll both get it now. Oh, the fuse is burned out.
Quick, behind these boulders.
Look out, Frank. Look out.
Well, there's the examination list, Professor Holland. Now you have the whole story.
Oh, this is amazing. Simply amazing.
Unfortunately, Mr. McCoy is so grateful to Frank for saving his life that he's willing to go before Dean Clark and swear to the whole thing.
Well, Mr. Hodge, I certainly owe you an apology. I hardly know what to say.
Well, that's all right, sir. Forget it.
But I feel that I should do something.
Well, if Bart doesn't mind my speaking up for him, Professor, there is one favor you could do.
Well, of course, Mr. Merriwell. Just name it.
Well, we'd all appreciate it, sir, if you didn't hold this against your man, Danny.
That's right, sir. We would.
Oh, yes. Yes, Danny. You know, that's the most puzzling aspect of the whole affair. I would have trusted Danny with anything.
And you still can, sir. You see, the poor old fellow is afflicted with gold fever, and that's a disease that makes people act in very odd ways.
Yes, I fancy you're right. Now I imagine you two will be taking that mining job this summer.
I wouldn't be surprised, sir.
And all I can say is that if you're as successful at digging up gold as you were at digging the facts of this case...
Yes, sir.
Well, come fall, you should be two very rich young men.
Ah, yes, sir.
And so ends another exciting adventure with Frank Merriwell, beloved hero of American fiction, brought to you in a new series of stories by the National Broadcasting Company. And be sure to listen again next week at this same time when Frank Merriwell returns in another of his celebrated exploits. Frank is played by Lawson Zerbe, Bot is Hal Studer, and Inza is Elaine Rust. Other members of the cast were Cameron Andrews, Joe DeSantis, Arnold Moss, Arthur Maitland, and Lou Hall. Original music is by Paul Taubman. The Adventures of Frank Merriwell is written by Ruth and Gilbert Braun and William Welch, and the entire production is under the direction of Ed King. This is Mel Brandt speaking.